You are back with The Conversation here on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. You know, there's a big push to get thousands of public school elementary students back in the classroom for face-to-face learning over the next 3 weeks. We've been featuring some schools which have been able to do that, some since January. This morning, we talked to School Superintendent Christina Kishimoto about the transition and about how the Department of Education's budget is faring in this legislative session. Kishimoto began visiting school campuses this week. We caught up with her early this morning.
Our elementary schools are going to be rolling back all of the K-6 students starting this week all the way through the next 3 weeks. But we have some schools that have brought back all students since January. So I'm going out to visit schools to see how that's going. I just see a lot of great instruction happening. Teachers have safety and health protocols that are in place and are solid, and the atmosphere in the school is just extremely positive. I think kids, teachers, all of us have a new appreciation for in-person learning.
I know you have so many schools to cover, but can you tick off some of the campuses where they've been able to get all the students back in the classroom?
Noelani Elementary was a school that I went to visit, and almost every student is back on the 29th, which is next Monday. Every last student will be back in the classroom. What's interesting about that school is that we had about 30% of parents who wanted to do distance learning and have changed their mind. So the school is full. We also have Pu'uhale Elementary. I was there yesterday. Every student's been back since January. The teachers asked to go ahead and move forward early, and it's working well. And then we have Hahaione Elementary. They've been back since February. So while we are asking all elementary schools to be back in person over the next 3 weeks, we do have schools that started in January, some in February, and some are starting now. We have 94,000 elementary students just K through 6, so this is quite a lift, but this is really exciting to have school buses back on the road, to have kids in classes, and to be able to provide that in-person support and instruction.
So a lot of this is possible because of the CDC guidance, the 3 feet versus 6 feet. There are some schools where the enrollment is probably high and they're just, you know, nervous about the space.
Oh, absolutely. Makes a huge difference to be able to move from 6 feet to 3 feet. And the guidance does allow us to go even lower than 3 feet. What's important is the layered mitigation strategy. You know, the absolute, the non-negotiable is wearing a mask, washing our hands, taking breaks, making sure there's air circulation in the classroom. And then we layer in additional strategies such as physical distancing to the greatest extent possible, you know, making sure that there are healthy mask breaks with more than 6 feet, making sure that the common areas like the cafeteria and other meeting spaces, that we're all facing forward, that there is enough spacing. That makes a difference in terms of how many students come back. Logistically, it's still a challenge, and I really applaud my principals and teachers and staff who are doing a great job making this work.
At this point now, you know, a lot of the teachers have been vaccinated, and, you know, there's a better degree of confidence about the face-to-face.
Our vaccination program has gone great. Every teacher and every staff member and leader that wanted a vaccine and signed up for it has been vaccinated. Department of Health has been a great partner, along with other healthcare partners in Hawaii, have really provided the quick access. And we'll continue to look at, you know, additional vaccines that are available and getting the word out for those who may not have gotten the vaccine. You know, we have the interesting conversation nationally right now about whether, you know, children should get vaccinated. Should we focus on, you know, 16-year-olds and older and so forth? So we know there'll be continued changing guidance, but we're excited that everyone who wanted the vaccine at this point has gotten the vaccine.
And where do you think you're going to have challenges? You know, what complexes maybe have just large enrollments that just don't have enough space?
Every complex area has, you know, one or two schools where they have large enrollments and or they have more common spaces. So their cafeterias may be too small, even with three waves of lunch. And so we don't want schools starting their lunch hour at 9 in the morning. That doesn't make sense. And so they're using all covered spaces. One of the schools that I went to visit earlier this week actually is using one of their gymnasium spaces, which is an outdoor gymnasium. gymnasium, so it's partially open air. They're using that as a second cafeteria. So schools are doing a lot of different strategies to really make this work and make sure that kids have a school day that is as normalized as possible so that they can enjoy the full school day in terms of supports, lunch, and instruction.
Are you still doing breakfast on campus?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We have some schools that have now transitioned from being community hubs for pickup of meals back to breakfast and lunch at the school site. Our elementary schools primarily have transitioned back to their normal feeding schedule, which is really important not to introduce kids from across the district into their school site, again, to keep that, you know, Ohana community in place and keep that safety protocol. Meanwhile, our secondary schools have taken up and are now those community hubs for feeding, you know, and are servicing several schools. And so we really appreciate the balance of all of our schools within complexes working together.
And you mentioned the bus service. How does that all play out?
It's a combination of everything. It's, you know, making sure that windows are open, that we have airflow in there, that kids are, and the bus driver has a mask on, there's hand sanitizers on the bus. We're encouraging parents that can drop off and pick up their children to do so that we have less number of students on the buses. At the same time, we know school bus transportation is critical for our families. We're adding runs where we need to add those runs. But we do have a lot of families who are opting to still drop off and pick up their child. And so they're not participating in the bus transportation for this quarter. There are fewer riders on the bus for this quarter. And as we transition into next school year, we're going to have to see how that works. The challenge in Hawaii is, again, we have a fixed number of buses and bus drivers, and as tourism opens up, we're all competing for the same bus drivers. And so for the rest of this quarter, we're in great shape. Into next school year, this is an area we'll keep watching very carefully.
We are in the last month of the legislative session. What's your budget looking like?
You know, our budget is still a challenge. We are having conversations with the legislature, with the governor. House Bill 200, you know, still has some challenges for us. There are 288 less FTEs or less positions, and that impacts us. There's money attached to those positions that we are not seeing in that budget. This is on top of the $41 million in cuts in the governor's budget and on top of the $100 million that was cut from our base budget this year. We also saw budget sheets that surprised us with this budget, where our entire IT department is not funded in this budget. We're looking for answers to that. We know there's conversations on the Senate side today, and we're hoping there's clarity about what's happening on that front. So, yes, there's a lot still to be solved. We are appreciative of the federal funding we're going to get. But that federal funding is not meant to supplant. It's meant to really address the new learning needs and operational challenges of COVID. So we do need a strong base budget still. And so we'll continue to work with our legislators.
On the IT issue, though, I mean, coming off all this remote learning and the need to close this digital divide, you know, how does that work?
We're not completely sure about that. The first time I learned about that and saw that was just a few days ago when the budget sheets were posted. I was very surprised at that. It's something I do not expect to have to be worrying about right now. There are other challenges in the budget. Not only do we rely heavily on our instructional technology, but the whole business side of the house of how we process pay, our financial management system, all of that is heavily reliant on technology. So we know there's going to be some answer. We're hoping that this is all going to be reinstated and it's going to show up on the Senate side. So we'll continue, again, to work with our legislators. This is work that we are aggressively growing on the technology front, and it's work that I hope that we're getting support and that we don't have to worry about.
That was School Superintendent Christina Kishimoto talking about her concerns as lawmakers fine-tune the state budget this week and as our keiki begin returning to the classroom over the next few weeks. Kishimoto is very concerned that now is not the time to cut funding for IT services and reduce full-time employees during the challenges of a teaching shortage.